You already know what time it is. You already know what's going on. Your favorite cousins are back. Your favorite duo is now back in session. I am your host, Cam Silver.
I am your co-host, Kyle Silver.
And welcome back to the Silver Boys Podcast.
Talk to
this me. This past weekend, we were able to crown a couple champions.
Yes, sir. So, yes, sir. So
before we get into the coaching switches that we were going to get into, give a big shout out to South Carolina on a perfect season. You know what I mean? Coach Dawn Staley and the rest of them girls, you know, all praises to you. You know, we've been singing her praises for the last few weeks now, and she deserves it. She does too. What is this, two championships in the last 3 years?
Two championships last 3 years. Perfect season. Cap it off. Couldn't get it done last year. Great girls, all the girls that was leaving senior year, you know what I'm saying? You get it done. Whole new squad, whole new group. You know what I'm saying? A lot of young bloods. But they did their thing, man. Shout out Dawn Staley. That's a powerful woman right there, man. For real.
Hey, she one of them ones now, man. She one of them ones. And, you know, we love to see it. UConn, to no surprise, they dominated, you know, came out on top against Purdue. And, you know, that basically leads us into this segue because, well, with Coach Cal leaving Kentucky to go to Arkansas, Kentucky was sitting there scrambling to find their next head coach.
Scrambling right now.
They called up Jay Wright. He said no. Called up Nate Oates. He said no. They called up who else did they call up? Dan Hurley from UConn. He definitely said no.
Actually, they called Dan Hurley twice.
Twice, yes, twice. That's right. Basically doubling his salary. What was that? That second time, I think it was.
The second time, yep.
And he still said no. He said, "No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm off that."
Andy Enfield to leave USC. Yeah, that was it.
So mistaken. So then, So then, in the midst of all of that, Kentucky, you know, just not too long ago, found their new guy, and that's Mark Pope. So if you don't know who Mark Pope is, Mark Pope was the BYU head coach over the last 5 seasons. He played 2 seasons at Kentucky, and he won a national championship. He also graduated from there in 1996. With BYU, he took him to 2 tournaments in the last 5 years, and he went, 110-52 and went 23-11 in their first year in the Big 12. So not too bad, but some big shoes to fill.
Not too bad, you know, in terms of, like, resume, but, you know, he doesn't. You know, in terms of the coaches that they might have wanted after leaving, you know, after a stature of a John Calipari, trying to get a Dan Hurley, trying to get a couple of these guys, this wasn't their first choice, but it's their best choice right now. You know, and you could take what you could get. You know, he hasn't won anything. You know, in terms of NCAA, and he hasn't, you know, won any NCAA tournament appearances, anything like that, any big games. So. Like you said, big shoes to fill because we don't know where the Kentucky program is going to be at right now at all.
Right.
He's going to have to fix a lot of things culture wise, schematically, coaching, everything, like everything. You got to get kids coming in now because we talked about it right before we hopped on. 3 of the 6 2024 recruitments actually came and, you know, reneged their recruitment from Kentucky. Right. Which is kind of crazy to me because that's just a result of John Calipari leaving, you know?
Yeah.
So, but the funny thing is also that Calipari wasn't, like, he was a winning coach, but he wasn't, like, a winning coach, if that makes any sense.
Correct.
Like, it's not like he has one big game win, like, you know, one actual championship to his name. So, it's not like, you know, has he underachieved? And maybe in a lot of people's eyes, he has, you know. But when in terms of, like, actually, like, developing, you know, boys into men, getting them ready for their next level, that's something you can't take away from him, though. It's something I won't take away from him.
Yeah, no, he's one of the best coaches at getting guys to the next level. And I think that's something that's been overshadowed over the last few years with the lack of success that he's had. But it was pretty shocking to see because the whole time I'm thinking there's no way in the world that he leaves because it's like where would he go, you know, like he's so loved and everything. But I guess, you know, when you don't make it to where you think you're gonna make it to, over time, what started to happen is that, you know, those boosters and everything in those programs, the people that, you know, help, you know, funding the programs and things of that nature, they kind of looking at you a little sideways, like, why are we not getting over the hump? Why are we losing in the first round to the, you know, to Oakland and St. Peter's and things of that nature? So I, yeah, it's gonna be so different. It's gonna be so different watching the SEC now, watching Coach Cal. And Coach Cal was in his introductory press conference, and he said he called the team meeting, and there's literally no one on the team. There's literally only one person on the roster. If you go to the Arkansas roster page right now, go to their website, and you see that there's literally only one person on that on a team, and his name is Lawson Blake. A
Like
senior.
that's just that boy, that John Calipari got a lot of work to do,
Oh yeah.
so much work. And as you know, we kept talking about how, you know, in past episodes, how old the coaches, you know, they don't necessarily feel very good about the transfer portal and about NIL. So, and then now you're coming to a team that's, you know, not established, don't got no players, and if you're choosing to like actually like hit a wall in terms of like, you know, wanting to get over the hump of the NIL and transfer portal, but you can't because you don't want to and you're being
Right.
stubborn with it. What are you going to do? What's going to be the difference of what happened at Kentucky versus what's going what could happen at Arkansas? What's the difference? What's
Right.
the a change of scenery? Like, is that it?
I think it's change of scenery, change of, you know, staff, I'm guessing. You know,
Change
it's
of expectations.
changing expectations. That's right. That's right. You don't have that, you know, being at Kentucky, we all know the expectations. The expectations were you had to get to, you know, those regional semis or regional final rounds. You know, you got to get to the national semis and things of that nature. That's what they were looking for. That's what your whole season builds up to. Now with Arkansas, you know, their last coach, Eric Musselman, he was a good coach. He got his team up. You know what I mean? They made constant great runs in the
Arkansas
tournament.
made some great runs in years past tournaments. They have.
Yeah, no,
They
yeah, no,
definitely have.
they've made some noise. So you know, Coach Cal has a like you say, Coach Cal just has a lot of work to do. He's gonna have to somehow some way. He's gonna have to build up on that transfer portal. And those guys that were committed at Kentucky, if you can, you're gonna have to try to push them. You know what I mean? That
Yeah.
that's gonna be the biggest thing. You're gonna have to try to get your kids who you brought into Kentucky and somehow some way pull them into Arkansas.
Bring him to Arkansas. Let's see if that like how much cachet that John Calipari name holds now. You know what I'm
Yeah, yeah,
saying? Mm-hmm. Let's
yeah.
see. Let's see. Let's see how
It's
much
gonna.
pull do you really have now that you don't have a big school and a whole like bunch
And
of just things backing you just because of the name.
Yeah, no,
Was
it's
it
gonna
Kentucky or
be.
was it you? Like, what is it? What is it?
Yeah,
Is it gonna be
no.
Arkansas or is it you, John? Coach
Yeah.
Cal, excuse me.
He
You
he's showed over the years that he's been able to, you know, to pull in guys, you know, getting, you know, guys like
Yeah.
Marcus Camby when he was up at UMass, and getting Derrick Rose when he was over at Memphis and things of that nature. But I think it's because of the slew of talent that he just had at Kentucky, you know,
Yeah.
starting with, you know, Cousins and John Wall and Eric Bledsoe and Patrick Patterson, and, you know, ending off now with Rob Dillingham and Reese Sheppard
Yeah.
and Aaron Bradshaw and guys like that, you know. So a long and extensive list of players that, you know, like, you know, just, you do you just hope, and, you know, just hope that he can at least, you know, transfer over the culture that he did have at Kentucky and bring it
Yes.
over to Arkansas.
Yes, I completely agree. I completely agree.
But yeah, no, and then like we said, Mark Pope, big time shoes to fill. You know what I mean? Those names, you know, starting with Adolph Rupp, you know, that who the arena is named after, all the way up to Coach Cal. You know, like everybody, I think almost every coach there basically has won a national championship, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah,
Big shoes to fill. Big, you're
big.
walking into big expectations now.
Yeah, because not only did Coach Cal just have the brand, but he also showed, like we said, he also showed
Yeah.
that he can get guys to that next level and be very, very successful on the next level as well. So
Exactly, exactly.
it's gonna be this change right here alone is huge.
I'm gonna be very, very interested to see, you know, what how Arkansas is gonna look at the beginning of the season versus the end of next season. Like, you know what I'm saying? How Kentucky's gonna look over the course of these next, you know, 5 years that they sign Mark Pope. It's gonna be real, real interesting. 'Cause that if that armor of Kentucky starts letting go, we need to start having a different conversation, man.
Oh yeah. And you know, we and it's funny because they signed Coach Cal to that lifetime contract or whatever. And when they signed him to that contract, it was questionable, but also at the same time, you kind of understood it because it's like, all right, you keep bringing in talent, you know, you're making runs, you're not making crazy runs, but you're making runs still, you know. And then you know, we know best that the NCAA tournament is hard. It's tough. It's, you know what I
It's not
mean?
easy. Yeah,
It's
no.
not easy at all. Like we've seen big time coaches like Mike Krzyzewski get bounced out in the first round. Tom Izzo get bounced out in the first round. You know, Roy Williams not have you know, great success either from time to time. So it's tough, but yeah, no, it's that's the name of the game, you know.
It's the way it goes. It's the way it goes. That's why we love the sport, though. You feel me?
Yeah.
That's why we love it.
True indeed. True indeed. All right. NBA. We only got a couple. We only basically only got like what 2 days left. I think they only play Friday and Sunday because no one plays Saturday. Whew. Oh boy. So the biggest thing right now that I think we got to talk about the fact that Giannis Antetokounmpo is injured. He got a calf injury. He suffered the calf injury on a non-contact. It was a non-contact injury.
Straight
Now,
flashbacks, straight PTSD, TBD.
yep, and
Straight.
everybody knows exactly where we're going with this. Straight flashbacks to a KD back in 2019.
NBA Finals, because what happened before that Finals game where he tore his Achilles? He had a left calf strain, and it took him weeks to come back. It took him weeks to come back from the calf strain, comes back for the finals, injures himself in the first game. And now you're asking Giannis to do it in a shorter amount of time than KD even did it, because they was already in the playoffs.
Right. They were in the playoffs. They already took care of business. It was, you know, just a matter of, you know, they just wanted him to come back so that they could, you know, when they I think they were going on a three-peat. They wanted to get that three-peat, obviously. But
But
a Milwaukee team that's not as strong as we all thought that they would be.
yeah, for real, for real.
And I think that's the biggest thing right now.
Because like now it's about to be reminiscent of last season to me of how, you know, Miami knocked them off in the first or second round. I don't remember which one. First round.
For sure.
First round. First round. Because Giannis, you know, he went down, he was injured, but yeah, albeit he came back and he tried his best, but you could tell he wasn't himself.
He
Like, he
wasn't
wasn't
him.
really himself. So now you're asking, and I'm so scared. Like, I'm so scared that he's gonna wanna rush back. Like, you know, and he's not gonna like actually take the time to really make sure that leg is okay. Because I'm just hoping he sees what happened to KD. That's all I hope. That's all I hope.
Yeah,
Obviously,
no,
if he's fine, you play. Obviously, if he's fine, you play. I'm not saying, but you gotta be careful.
I hope the coaches that I hope that the training staff does their part, and you know, obviously, you know, the biggest thing is if he can't do no more structural damage, because that's what they told KD. If you can't do no more structural damage, you basically get the green light to go if you want to go, you know, because no one knows your body like obviously like you do. So that's gonna be the biggest thing right there. But oh, it's a real scary time for Milwaukee. Very vulnerable.
They should be very worried. They should be very, very, very worried.
Because they can mess around and get Philly, maybe. They
Philly
can mess
first
around.
round.
They can mess around
They
possibly
could
get
get Miami.
Miami again. They can mess around and maybe get Indiana, who's had their number all year. So almost all of them are bad matches for them, if we really want to look at it, especially with no
And in terms
Giannis.
of first round, no Giannis, you know, and y'all don't play no defense. And now you don't have your locomotive engine with you either. Like, come on.
I guess,
Like,
yeah,
what
like
are we really expecting here?
Indiana turns all their games into track meets.
Yes.
If Joel Embiid is just somewhat himself.
75%.
And he's already came back. He's already playing in games, getting his conditioning back, getting his feel back. So
Still
you know what I
dropping
mean?
25 plus.
Exactly. So you know that right there says enough already. And then after that, you're gonna have Tyrese Maxey following with Tobias
Yeah.
Harrison and Kelly Oubre, and they've already been playing without him. So then just incorporating him back into the fold is gonna be something to see. And then we already know what's gonna happen with Miami and Jimmy Butler and the rest of the group.
Playoff Jimmy. We just call it like it is. That's all we need to say. End of sentence, period.
So yeah, no, I'm very, very worried for Milwaukee right now.
I just because of like we had these high expectations,
Coming
going into
in.
the season, Adrian Griffin out, Doc comes in, nobody knows how to play defensive team. Like it's like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? What are we doing here, guys?
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do either.
I don't know. I know Doc Rivers probably sitting there saying that same thing to himself. I don't know what to do, and I don't blame him. I don't, because it because people because you know as much as we get on him for like what's happening, I don't think people understand how hard it is to come into the middle of a season and try to
And you
change
got
a
to, and
culture.
you have to change a culture. You have to change tendencies that were already in from this, like from August. Because the season ends in June, you get July, August off, maybe September, you coming back for training camps and stuff like that.
Right.
October start of the season, tendencies that are already inherently built in that you need to get out. And you can't do that in the middle of a season when you should be vying for, you should be competing with a team like Boston for the top spot.
Correct. Correct.
Because on paper, that's how y'all should be.
Exactly. That's what we all thought that they should be, but obviously, things happen. But yeah, it's gonna be something to really, really like see right now.
So, hey, that just shows the importance of my man Drew Holiday, for real. For real, for real. Like, because
They
where he has Boston at, defensively, his shot-making ability, him as a teammate, finding open guys, playing the point guard position, locking everybody down.
toughness, everything, everything. Man, I. And then now they're in danger because if they slip up over the next two games and say a team like the Knicks do their thing, then they
They
take
could
over that
actually,
number. They take over that number two seed. And then you have Milwaukee. And as of right now, how the standings look, Milwaukee would have to face Indiana, or they would have to see the Orlando Magic. You know, it's
And do
like
you
if
really want to
they
put yourself up against Orlando and Paolo though?
and
Like,
Paolo with Franz and Mort and the rest of that crew, especially them just being young, their first time in the playoffs, the excitement. So, there's only 2 weeks they can go. They could be like Cleveland from last year and how they face the Knicks, or they could be how Miami is and just run through you. Like you know what I mean? So
We don't know. It's a young team, but it's a young team that it appears to be hungry.
right.
And now you want to go into it without your best player on the court.
Correct.
Milwaukee is in a tough spot. Milwaukee's in a real, real tough spot.
A scary one, to be exact. But let's look at the West. So Denver was able to edge out Minnesota the other night, and now it looks like they're in the lead. If they could win basically the next two games, they will have that number one spot, which would be great for them. You have Minnesota and Oklahoma City basically fighting for that 2-3 spot. The one that everybody's really looking at, though, is the fight for that 4-5 with Dallas and the
Four or five,
Clippers.
four or five, even six. Six is a
Six.
tough spot.
Oh yeah, six is a very
Six
tough
is a tough
spot,
spot to be in right now.
because 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10.
In New Orleans at six, Phoenix at seven, Sacramento Kings at eight, Golden State Warriors at nine, and you got the Lakers at 10. And if the three out of those four, honestly, all four, all five could get to the finals if they really want to.
Yeah, no. If they can make a run, if they depend, excuse me, depending on the matchup that they can get, depending
But
on
then we all,
depending
I'm
on
not, I shouldn't say, not the finals, maybe the Western Conference
the Western
finals.
Conference Finals. Yeah, correct. Because they would, I think, regardless, someone's gonna, they're gonna have to see Denver.
I was about to say nobody's the Mile High City, that's where it runs through.
No one's had an answer for them. You know what I mean? Yeah, Jokic always figured out another tier. Jamal Murray's shot making is you know un
Elevated
is elevated every single year. You know,
at the highest level.
and the rest of the supporting crew is awesome. I really, really, really like that team. But a team like the Suns, it'll be very interesting to see because they've been all over the place all year. That has not been a team that I've liked. I you know, it's funny. I don't like watching them as much
I
as
don't either. I actually don't either.
as much as I want to watch them. I don't like watching them because essentially it's like, all right, if Devin Booker's not on, KD, we need you to get 30. All right, KD's not on. Hey, Devin Booker, we need you to get 30. Bradley Beal, can you contribute something to this team, please?
Give me something, please, sir.
Like, can you
Please.
do something? You know, and then the rest of the team, like, you know, Grayson Allen and the rest of them, like, you can't rely on them.
Not, yeah, you can't really, not in a seven-game series.
No. No. That's my thing with them. Yeah, they've relied too heavily on their, especially the top two in Book and KD. And rightfully so. You know, they're two of the best scorers in the league right now. So obviously you're gonna do that. But the problem is the scoring, they don't have an official offense.
There's no, it's like there's no, I no movement in the offense. There's no flow to the offense. And then you're giving up fourth quarter leads. Frank Vogel, sir, you are known for defense, sir.
There's no
How are you
excuse. There's
giving up? How are you giving up leads? How are y'all can't get stops and they
no
can't make
excuse.
shots. The problem, they can't make stops and they can't make shots at the end of the game.
You go. There you go. That
Devin
right
Booker,
there, right
he
there.
can have 40, 50 for three quarters. What happens in the last 2 minutes if he go ice cold?
That's my biggest thing, yo. Like throughout this whole season, like going off at 60, 70, that's cool and all. But if you're not getting a W next to to that win, if you're not getting a W next to that stat, then what was the point?
I've seen Luka sun him too many times, to be quite honest. I've
And
seen,
he's and
I
and
if you ask me to pick between the Mavericks or the Phoenix Suns in a 7-game series every year, I'm gonna pick Dallas.
oh yeah, no, and as much as I love D Book's competitiveness and he's always talking smack out there, bro. Luka's your dad right now.
And it's like Luka, he sees that Sun logo, the Suns logo, and it's like he's a different
He
person.
starts twitching out like
it's actually wild to see,
dude turned into
because
Michael
he's done it.
Jordan
He's
from
done it
Nike.
for he's done it for like 2 years. He's done it for 2 to 3 years.
Bro, dude turned into Michael Jordan in 92. Like he becomes unstoppable. Like how? But man,
Nobody
yo,
has an answer for him on that squad.
the Suns team, I'm very questionable on. The Kings team, just watched them against the Pelicans. They're not looking too hot either. Wouldn't be surprised if they don't make it out of the play-in. The Warriors team, everyone's talking about them, obviously, because this could be their last dance. You know, obviously with Steph, we already know we're gonna get from Steph. Klay is obviously a question mark. We pray that Draymond can just stay on the court. Like I just pray that Draymond can stay on the court. You know, the young guys in Kuminga and all of them, I love how they're coming in to their own. But it's just a matter of them being able to make shots, basically. That you know what I mean? Like I said, we're not worried about Steph. We know Steph is gonna make his shots. Can Klay make
Steph
his
is going
shots
to Steph.
consistently? You know what I mean? Like Klay has his times where he has 20s. Then after that, he'll have like 10. You know, and then from Klay, in order for this run to go, I need consistent 20s.
I need you got to give me at least 23 to 24 game.
Yeah, I can
At
see that.
least.
Yeah. And Draymond has to control himself with his emotions. Then after that, then I could say maybe that they can make a run, but they're in a tough spot right now because if they end up in the 9-10 spot, then they will have then and if they make it out of play and they have no choice but to see Denver.
Yeah, after and then what they would have to play to they got you got to play the Lakers in the play-in if the current standings stay, You play the Lakers. Let's just say you beat the Lakers. You got to go through Phoenix, Sacramento, maybe New Orleans.
Correct.
And then let's just say you win that game too, whatever. And you get that 7 seed or you get that 8 seed. You lose that game, and then you go up against Denver. That's a gauntlet.
No.
That's a gauntlet. Even for the Lakers too. Same situation for
Same,
the Lakers
same.
and same situation for Phoenix.
It's the same exact thing, you know? It's weird to say, it's funny to say because the Lakers actually play a lot better without Bron. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? I've been more comfortable and more happy watching them without Bron, as much as I love Bron, because the team, they just look more like a team. They look more like a cohesive unit. D-Lo can get his shots off that he wants to. AD becomes a 40-20 monster. Like, he looks like AD from when he was first in New Orleans. You know, Austin Reeves starts to ball out. Rui Hachimura starts to ball out. But, you know, it's just weird. It's just like, how can they figure all of that out, but then also have Bron there? Because Bron is so ball dominant, and Bron just has to figure out a way to just play off the ball. In most instances, I would say. You know what I mean? Because there are going to be instances where, you know, if they're down, I would expect Bron to have the ball and, you know, to make a play. You know, because he has one of the highest IQs that the game has ever seen. But it's gonna be another gauntlet for the Lakers, like you said, you know, to go through the Warriors, possibly going through Sacramento, Phoenix, maybe even New Orleans. And then after that, you gotta face Denver, a team that swept you last year.
They pretty much first teams. I mean, let's just say Phoenix could get away with it. Not Phoenix, I'm sorry. The Pelicans could get away with it, right? If you're Phoenix, Sacramento, Golden State, or the Lakers, you need to be mindful of who got that number 8 seed. Like, for real, for real. Because I
Correct,
know
correct.
all four of them were asking themselves, how do we avoid Denver?
Yeah, because you know you would want to see either Minnesota or Oklahoma City.
I've seen Oklahoma run circles around the Lakers, though.
Oh yeah, no, but actually, not this past year though. This past year, the Lakers has had their number.
They had their
This
number?
year, they've done a lot better against
Okay.
OKC.
Excuse me, then.
I'll
I'm
say,
high on OKC. I'm real high on them.
but no, you have every right to be. I'm high on them too. I love Shea. Shea is amazing. Jalen Williams is awesome. Chet,
Chet out here is a man amongst boys as a boy.
every game that we've watched him, he's been elevating himself and getting better and better and better, and nothing has made me more happier than to see something like that. So
Exactly.
yeah, no, OKC is a team that you'll want to see. If Minnesota can get Carl back, and Anthony Edwards is clicking off. You know, their defense is great with Rudy Gobert holding it down now. I'm impressed with that team as well. So you got some young hitters up there that are ready to stake their claim in this Western Conference with the old guys at the bottom.
I know, right? Like, for real, the old guys at the bottom, these young cats, we up here, and then there go the middle age group of the Clippers just sitting right there,
Just
sitting
sitting
right
right
in the
there.
middle.
And as much as we don't talk about them, we should be talking about them a little more. Well, we will talk about them because we basically run out of time right now. But yeah, that's something that we're really going to keep our eye on, and how the Clippers are and what they do. But that's all we got for this episode. I wish we could go longer, but you already know what goes on over here. But till next week, you already know what time it is. I'm your host, Cam Silver.
I'm your co-host, Kyle Silver.
Later on, everybody.
Thank you.